T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The great Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, Joe and Evan, how you been?
Albert, how are you?
You guys know this is prime time for the weather people, right? Like, this is the time when their bosses are happy with them. There's stars in the newsroom. You can understand that, right?
No. No, you know what? They should have to go stand in it. Go stand in it. Go.
The best part is they don't even have to be right. You know, they're the stars of the show during the winter.
But let me ask you something, Albert. Why are they like 95% right when it comes to, well, we're going to have 11 to 17 inches? Why are they right then? They haven't been wrong.
I don't know about the weathermen. You've been watching. I'd say there's more 50-50 where I'm at, but we get a little more snow than you guys.
Here's the real question. Who is more accurate, all right, the weather people or the mock drafters?
I might go with the weather people on that one.
There you go. I was reading your article this morning. Very interesting article. There's a paragraph I want to read back to you because I interpreted it a certain way.
Yep.
You wrote, the team's brass, the Jets, taking no chances. Plan A back in May and June was to be in position to pluck from a ballyhooed group of college quarterbacks, and owner Woody Johnson made it clear before leaving for his ambassadorship in the summer he was all in on the idea. So that means the Jets were tanking then. They were all in on being horrible enough to get the first or second pick and just draft whoever they want. That's how I read that.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that they felt like at the time the timing really lined up. You know, like you go back, and this was the time for them to turn the page in the roster, and most of the decisions to get rid of guys at this time last year have worked out. You know, almost none of those guys, Decker, Marshall, Mangold, Reeve, none of those guys have done anything. You know, and so they felt that the timing lined up where this was the right time to pull the plug on what they'd been doing the first 2 years there and turn over the roster and get a lot younger. And it just so happened that at the time, everybody thought this was going to be a potentially historic class of quarterbacks. And so, yeah, there's absolutely that feeling that we're going to take our lumps of young guys. We're going to be really bad this year, and we're going to be in position to take one. And I'll tell you what, ownership followed that up by investing very, very heavily in evaluating and vetting all the college quarterbacks in the fall. They were at just about every USC game, UCLA game, Wyoming game, Oklahoma game, Washington State game, Louisville game. So they've put a lot into that, you know, and things changed over the course of the last few months and that they won a few games, so it was going to be more expensive to go up and get one. Jeremy Bates gained some prominence in the building. He winds up getting promoted, and that obviously lined up with Kirk Cousins being a free agent, who's a, you know, perfect quarterback for that, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay type of offense. But the first plan had always been, you know, we're going to be in position to draft one of these guys in April of 2018. And they did a ton of homework to get ready for that.
Yeah, they did a terrific job talking to Albert Breer. All right, how do you see it, Albert? 1-2-3. 1-2-3. What are the picks?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cleveland's Sam Darnold right now. You know, I know that trade talks, you know, and, you know, going on, the idea of going up to number one didn't go very far with the Browns, you know, as far as the Jets were concerned.
Right,
and
right.
So I think that, you know, my feeling at least is that if you're the Browns, you're sitting there at number one and you've got all these teams that are desperate to move up and you're not willing to go, then that tells me you're taking a quarterback because, you know, based on what you can get for the first pick, it's either take a quarterback or move back a few picks and build up some capital. At number two, you know, my understanding is there are two players the Giants really like that are non-quarterbacks, and that's Saquon Barkley and Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. Now, the question becomes, over the next few weeks, do they fall for one of these quarterbacks and do they decide we need to take one of these guys? I don't think they're quite there yet. But if they decide they're not taking one, then, you know, I think they also have to look at the idea of moving down with teams like Buffalo and Arizona, Denver, potentially Miami, toying with the idea of moving up. And then, you know, at number three, you know, I, 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 you know, the Jets are clearly going with a quarterback, and I think we're probably talking about Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield there. And then at number four, you know, Cleveland could be in a spot to trade out, where, you know, again, there's more teams looking to trade up for quarterbacks than there are going to be quarterbacks available at that spot. And so Cleveland could have a market for that fourth overall pick. So I don't think it's out of the question that we see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Crazy. That would be something.
Yep.
Now, the Jets have done all their research, like you mentioned. They've watched every game. They've watched every snap. They've watched all the film. It would make me feel good if I trusted that they knew what they were doing. I'm glad they're doing the work. But I used to study a lot sometimes and get terrible grades.
Yeah.
You know, just because you study a lot doesn't mean you're going to get great grades.
I never studied, by the way, bro.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I shouldn't have in some cases.
I slid by as much as I could without ever studying.
Yeah, I try. Well, in certain classes, I would do that.
I understand.
Here's what I would tell you guys about that, though. Like the big thing is it's not even so much about who they are as players. Everybody's got the film, right? Like, everybody can look at them on tape and make their own determinations. I think the advantage the Jets had in getting in front of this one a little bit is learning who those guys are as people, because there are some complexities to these guys. You know, like, this class is a little different, that there's talent there, but, you know, from a personality standpoint, each one of these guys is a little bit different. You know, Sam Darnold is the prototypical quarterback, like the guy who carries himself the right way. And that's why I think Cleveland's going to take him, because so much of this is feeling comfortable with the guy that you're going to tie your job security to. And so Darnold's that guy. But then, you know, Rosen, obviously there's been the questions about him from a personality standpoint. How much does he love football? You know, how will his style resonate in an NFL locker room? Baker Mayfield, we had the off-field stuff, you know, the arrest last year. And obviously the swagger he carries himself with on the field. You know, and then with Josh Allen, there's a question about how quick he's going to be to pick up an NFL offense, because he didn't progress a ton from his redshirt sophomore year to his junior year. And so I think where the Jets really do have a leg up is, you know, the homework they did in vetting all of these kids and the investment they made in learning who these kids are as people. Because as you guys know, at that position, that's such a huge part of it.
Sure.
You know,
are you kidding?
That is such a huge part of it. And so I think that's really where the Jets' advantage is now. It's not so much breaking down what types of players they are. That's obviously a big part of the decision, too. It's just learning who these guys are as people. Mm.
Talking to Albert Breer, talking NFL with him. The free agency, how did you see that? What teams did you think did pretty well in free agency, Albert?
Yeah, you know, I really like what Tennessee did. And the reason why is, look, we're going to look back at this in a couple of years, and there are going to be a bunch of teams that struck out spending big money, right? And normally it's because, you know, maybe you ignored the reason why the guy is a free agent. You saw some of the receiver money out there. It was shocking. You know, I mean, Sammy Watkins has a foot issue. He only had 39 catches last year in Sean McVay's offense, yet, you know, he's getting 34 over the next 2 years from Kansas City. Allen Robinson, who I think could be a really good player, is coming off an ACL. He gets $14 million per.
Right.
And so, you know, I think the reason I like what the Titans did is because there's at least some certainty in what they're getting. And that's, you know, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel both, you know, come from, you know, a New England background. That's how they want to set up their program. And they go and they bring in Deion Lewis and they bring in Malcolm Butler. So they have an idea of who those guys are as people. You know, they have an idea of what they're buying into. And, you know, when Mike Vrabel goes in there next week or in 2 weeks to start to set up his program, you know, he's going to have a couple foot soldiers in that locker room helping him set things up the way that he wants to set them up. And so, you know, I look at what the Titans did, and I think that among the teams that spent, because I think there are some teams that were quieter that, you know, benefit from just, you know, getting a year older. You know, I look at what the Titans do and just look at the way they spent their money. And as far as, you know, teams that actually went out and spent last week, I think the Titans did a nice job.
We're talking to Albert Breer about football. You mentioned the Jets called into the Browns about number one overall. Do you know if there were substantial discussions between the Jets and the Giants about going to two?
I don't think there were, you know, and I honestly, I think a big piece of that is just there's no history there between the teams of doing it in the past. And, you know, these are sensitive things, you know, like where, you know, I think there's just, you know, concern one way or the other about, you know, does this get out if we're talking about it and that sort of thing. And so I can't say with 100% certainty that they didn't talk, but I know that, you know, it certainly wasn't at the level that it was with Cleveland or Indianapolis.
And for the Giants, if they are going to trade back, and I don't know what they're going to do, but if they trade back, this has to help them, because now a team like Buffalo or Miami or Arizona sees the Jets at three. Do you
well,
Do you think the Giants are looking to trade that pick?
And that's what's awesome about it for the Giants, you know. And I think that's what the Jets were thinking when they gave up the three. And you guys can look. I mean, like the last few times we've had these big moves up for quarterbacks, and you know, the Rams and the Eagles, and then 6 years ago the Redskins. It always you always giving up future ones. And the Jets didn't have to give up a future one. And I think a big reason they felt why is because, you know, maybe some of these teams with first-year general managers, the Browns with John Dorsey, the Giants with Dave Gettleman, maybe those teams weren't there yet. Now, the Cardinals, who could move up, have a first-year head coach in Steve Wilks. And maybe they weren't fully through their evaluation yet. And they felt like – the Jets felt like being that far ahead, you know, gave them the advantage of, you know, having some certainty of what they were doing, and we can move forward aggressively. Now, it does help the Giants. There's no question about that, because now – yeah, that's just the floor for what a team's gonna have to spend to come up and get, have to spend to go up there. And I just look at it like this: like if you're Buffalo or you're Arizona or you're Denver or you're Miami and you want to go up and get one, you know, now it's either you go to two or you go to four. And if you go to four, there's no certainty that you're gonna get anything but the last of the four of the top four quarterbacks. And there's a drop off after those four. If you go to two, you know, then, you know, you can reasonably say, you know, maybe Sam Darnold's off the board and we're comfortable with the next guy. And so the Giants are in a great spot now where there's a lot of pressure on those other teams, on those three, four teams that could be looking to come up to move up and get their guy. And so the Giants could wind up doing really, really well here if they decide they want to deal with that.
You know, the Jets, I thought, did a great job bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. It's worth the flyer. They only got him for one year. They didn't spend a lot of money on him. Well, what's your thoughts on Teddy?
Joe, you know, he's a good fit for what Jeremy Bates wants to do. You know, it's a big part of Jeremy Bates' offense is being able to process, being able to see the field, and that's his strength. Now, you know, Teddy was never an overwhelming, you know, physical talent, and, you know, the biggest question is what his knee injury has done to the physical ability he did have.
Right.
But, I mean, to take a flyer on a kid like that as a former first-round pick, I don't see, you know, a whole lot of downside there, especially when you got the amount of cap space the Jets have. And this is really the new way of doing it. You know, you look back 2 years, the two years ago, the Eagles, you know, they paid Sam Bradford $18 million per. They bring in Chase Daniel at $7 million per. They trade up twice for Carson Wentz. Last year, the Bears signed Mike Glennon at $15 million per. They bring in Mark Sanchez to back him up. They trade up for Mitch Trubisky. You know, the idea now for a lot of these teams is we're going to keep throwing darts at the board. And, you know, we're willing to pay a veteran and bring in a rookie. And really what's facilitated that is the rookie salary scale. These guys aren't getting paid at an outrageous rate.
Right.
You know, their first few years in the league. And so I think what the Jets have done in throwing multiple darts at the board is smart. Gives you multiple chances to get it right.
I'm with you on that. And we've seen the Giants revamp their offensive line. They signed the best left tackle out there in Nate Solder. They add the left guard, Patrick Omame. They may draft Quentin Nelson. Eric Flowers is still on the offensive line, but thankfully for Giant fans, he's not at left tackle, you know, so he can't be worse moving him around. So we've already seen the Giants at least make big efforts to improve this offensive line.
Well, we've seen, you know, look, you know, Dave Gettleman was there in Carolina last year, you know, when they paid Matt Khalil. And, look, Matt Khalil's not a top 10 left tackle, but, you know, at least having some stability at that spot made them better in other places last year where they could move some guys around into places that might be more natural for them. And, you know, we saw it with Minnesota too, and that, you know, bringing in Riley Reiff to be their left tackle, again, not a top flight guy, but having a left tackle there to anchor the line sort of, you know, settle things down in an area that had been a disaster for the Vikings the year before. And so, you know, that's really the value of bringing in Nate Solder is that, you know, he's not Joe Thomas, but maybe bottom end of the top 10 in the NFL at the position. And the real advantage is now you get to move some of those other guys around where you're not worrying about the most important spot on the line.
You know, let me ask you, it's not that I particularly care because I don't ever want to see them be good, but the Miami Dolphins and what they did in the UFC, they're bringing Amendola, they're bringing Quinn, you know, they cut Ndamukong Suh. Are they sold on Tannehill yet, a quarterback there? What's the deal with that team?
I think that they're very open to the idea of finding a player to come in and eventually compete with Tannehill. Yeah, I mean, they're out of the guaranteed money for him. He has zero guaranteed dollars left on his deal.
Right. Okay.
He's about to turn 30 years old, which I mean, sort of tells you, you know what you've got at that point. You know, like, how much better is a guy going to get after he hits 30 years old? And so
we have seen guys. Albert, let me just say this: we have seen guys in the past that kind of found it after 30 years old, and we have seen that happen.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, we saw Case Keenum last year. I think he's right at 30, right? Like, so we have seen that in the past, but the Dolphins have had him in their building. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, they know what
he has.
This isn't like a guy who's bounced around. This is a guy who's been in their building now. It's going to be his seventh year. And so they know what they've got. And, you know, the buzz coming out of Mobile just 2 months ago was that, you know, Baker Mayfield was not going to get past the Miami Dolphins at 11. And so, you know, I think what that implicitly tells you, whether or not they wind up, you know, making a move up to go and get someone like that or not, it tells you that they're at least very open to the idea of, you know, putting some competition in the room. Now, as far as the global piece, like that you were talking about at the top there, it's, you know, this is about fixing the culture. And this is about a locker room that I think that they felt like it didn't blow up last year, but it had definitely gone sideways and was starting to teeter. And so I think part of this for Adam Gase is, you know, I want to start to establish what we're looking for in a personality, from a personality standpoint in our locker room. And so that's why you see Ndamukong Suh and Jarvis Landry, who've been a little bit of a headache, out. And you see guys like Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola and Robert Quinn, who, you know, two of the three have had serious injury problems. But, you know, you at least have an idea that you're getting good team guys and maybe guys that will help you rebuild the thing from a cultural standpoint.
No, hopefully they never get rebuilt. Hopefully the Dolphins are terrible forever.
Ever and ever.
So you're hoping Danny Amendola's attitude goes south?
Let's be honest.
Yes.
He's going to stink in Miami. You know that. I mean, you know, come on. Guy wasn't that good with the Rams. So let's be honest.
You know what's interesting about that is you see that, like a bunch of those Patriots guys are now going and getting theirs. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like, you're John Lewis, you're Danny Amendola. It's like, I got a couple rings. Things were a little weird here last year. You know what? I'm going to go get mine. I may not have another bite of the financial apple. It's time for me to go get paid.
Good for them. That's fine to do it. Just understand you're probably not going to be as good.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, look, Danny's had the injury problems, and they really had to manage him through the last few years in New England from an injury standpoint. So, you know, I love what he gives you when he's healthy, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy and he's getting older. There's no question there's some risk involved there.
Albert, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Albert, always a pleasure, man.
You got it, guys.
Albert Breer on the football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.